This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, so Carl emailed me. I just fired off an email and I probably sound snippier than I mean to Carl. So I get this email from Carl. I probably read the same article you did about this. The fact that DirecTV offers over 20 left-leaning channels for their customers, of which I am one, I am two, and three or four conservative channels certainly indicates that they have a bias. No way all those lefties aren't getting a similar deal to the one Newsmax was asking for. Why don't you do some research into it? I have done the research into it, Carl. So not to beat a dead horse on this, but Newsmax is off of DirecTV, a Newsmax spin on this. I'm frustrated with the spin because I like Newsmax. I've been on the program, I'm friends with them, and I find this deeply disingenuous. They're claiming it's censorship. Yes, DirecTV has a number of left-leaning networks, including MSNBC, which has a large number of people who watch MSNBC. Newsmax did not have as many, but more importantly, a lot of those left-leaning channels like MSNBC come as a package. You get NBC, you get CNBC, you get MSNBC, and they're all kind of a rated package. And if you want CNBC, you have to carry MSNBC. What Newsmax did not have that these others did was something called leverage. So, for example, CNN and Warner Brothers Discovery, you get Discovery Channel, History Channel, Travel Channel, CNN, HLN, all those things, and it's a package, and DirecTV pays for the package, and you get one, you get them all. They pay a fee, and they negotiate the fee, but part of the fee is you got to add these other channels. Again, Newsmax did not have that. What Newsmax was doing, what some of these other left-leaning channels on DirecTV do, is they give the program for free. So Newsmax was going to DirecTV and saying, we'll give this to you for free. And DirecTV said, we will gladly take it for free. Newsmax has grown its business to a certain level and now wanted DirecTV, with the contract to be up, to pay it a per subscriber fee. And DirecTV said no. And Newsmax said yes. And DirecTV said goodbye. And Newsmax said, oh my God, they're censoring conservatives. They don't want conservatives on. They replaced them with a conservative network. They have Fox. They have The First, which is a great, great channel. Look, I like Newsmax. We were willing to do an ad on this program for Newsmax to direct you to their paid subscription service where you can watch it if you were a fan. But I wasn't willing to claim that it was censorship by DirecTV because I do not believe it, and the data is not actually there to support it. And what the research, Carl, actually shows is that a lot of these left-leaning channels, they're either packaged with channels that DirecTV subscribers really want because they are tied to major corporate media partners like Warner Brothers Discovery, and so DirecTV has to put them on if they want the stuff the customers really want, or they give DirecTV the content for free. And as long as Newsmax was giving DirecTV the content for free, DirecTV was willing to broadcast them. And once Newsmax decided it wanted a subscriber fee, DirecTV said nope and put on The First instead, which did not want a subscriber fee, which is also a conservative channel. That's just the nature of the business. You do not automatically, unless you are over the air, you do not automatically get the right to be on Dish Network, DirecTV, Verizon Fios, Cox Cable, Charter, Comcast, whatever. They pick and choose based on user demand and based on subscriber fees of where they're going to put you on and when they're going to put you on. And if you want to improve your chances of getting put on, then you give them the content for free and you hope to build up such a giant base of subscribers that with that giant base of subscribers, you then can leverage it to get the net, get the channel to pay you for free. As it is, there were not a lot of cable networks running Newsmax. And again, I like the network. I like Chris Ruddy. He's a tremendous businessman. I like a number of the hosts there that I'm friends with. I've been on their programs. But I'm not willing to call this censorship of conservatives because Newsmax wanted money from DirecTV and DirecTV wasn't going to pay it to them, which is the bottom line what happened. Now, I will move on to other things because we got other stuff to talk about. In particular, we need to talk about the Ron DeSantis versus Donald Trump fight. Donald Trump had some meetings. Let me load all these programs, all these sites here so you can get the sense of it because I find it all very fascinating. Donald Trump's big money machine prepares for battle with DeSantis and other rivals. So if you're just tuning in, Nikki Haley has announced she's running for president of the United States. She will, well, she hasn't announced. She will announce. It's now certain. Sources say she will announce on February 15th. Donald Trump doesn't think that she's going to be a competitive threat to him. He doesn't really appreciate what Nikki Haley is capable of doing, but he doesn't think she's a competitive threat. He thinks DeSantis is the threat. So this is from Alex Eisenstadt at Politico. The operatives running former President Donald Trump's cash flush super PAC met quietly in December to sketch out their lines of attack against Ron DeSantis and other potential GOP rivals. The latest indication that the slow-burning 2024 primary is beginning to intensify. During the meeting, which was held in Alexandria, Virginia, led by Trump lieutenants Taylor Butowich and Tony Fabrizio, the group pored over confidential polling, went over legal and communication strategies, and laid out a six-month plan for the race. That plan includes an opposition research initiative targeting DeSantis and other candidates. The early planning foreshadows a coming battle between Trump and his would-be rivals. Trump, who bent the party to his will as president, is intently focused on battling down anyone who will challenge him, especially Ron DeSantis. DeSantis appears to be his biggest threat. But wait, there's more. This is from Michael Binder and Maggie Haberman of the New York Times. After announcing presidential runs, Mitt Romney, Hillary Clinton, and Jeb Bush all raised more per day in their out-of-the-gate fundraising periods. Donald Trump's knack for generating millions of dollars simply by emailing or texting supporters has helped him maintain a firm grip on the GOP, but in the first weeks of his third presidential campaign, he notched a less-than-stellar fundraising haul, yet again signaling that his hold over some conservatives may be loosening. He only raised $9.5 million from November 15th. That's about $201,600 a day, a fraction of the sums that established frontrunners in past elections. In 2015, Jeb Bush was averaging $762,000 a day, and Hillary Clinton was averaging $594,400 a day. I'm kind of surprised it's that low. Now, he's got $55 million in a PAC that he can use, but that's really not a good number out of the gate. DeSantis, for his part, is ignoring the Trump attacks. I want to play you some audio. This is from Kaladin Free is the account, a social media account. And these sound bites, they sound like they're going to become the response that the Ron DeSantis campaign uses against President Trump's attacks.
As many schools and school districts are closing across the country, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has not ruled out closing or opening up schools in May, saying that many kids are not vulnerable to this disease. Do you agree with that assessment? And do you believe that schools, would you recommend that schools open up and to those states that have
Well, I have a lot of confidence in Ron DeSantis, a lot of faith in Ron DeSantis to make the right decision. He's doing a great job as governor. Ron DeSantis, I had read where he's thinking about opening up the schools earlier than the date, the end of the month. I'd have to look at the numbers. But again, you know, I like to allow governors.
And wait, there's more.
And they went up and they went down. And now you're at your lowest numbers. And you're open and you didn't close and then you didn't close and then you didn't close. And then
that's Donald Trump. The audio is very low to hear, but it's Donald Trump speaking, saying, you didn't close in Florida. You didn't close in Florida. Here's him in Pennsylvania.
Even open yet. What the hell is going on with your state? You know, Florida's open. All this. Florida had a surge. Great governor. Surge went down.
Even great governor, Florida. Here he is again in Florida.
The greatest economy in the history of our country. And then we had to close it up when the China plague came in. We close it up.
That's on repeat. And one more.
Was there a change?
I did convey
thinking?
The message. I didn't like the fact that he's leaving certain things. I want the states to open more than he does, much more than he does. But I didn't like to see spas at this early stage, nor did the doctors. Is that a correct statement, Deborah? I didn't like to see spas opening, frankly. I didn't like to see a lot of things happening, and I wasn't happy with it. And I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. I wasn't at all happy, but I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. Spas, beauty parlors, tattoo parlors. And by the way, I want them to open. Excuse me. I want them to open, and I want them to open as soon as possible. And I want the state to open. But I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. I will tell you that right now. Yeah.
For opening his state, he wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. These are all the responses the DeSantis team can make against Trump when he begins to pour his opposition research in. It's using Trump's own words against him, including love for Dr. Fauci, bragging about Ron DeSantis, attacking Brian Kemp for reopening the state of Georgia, which in hindsight turned out to be very great. And on top of that, DeSantis is getting some other wins out there. This is the New York Times today. The College Board strips down its AP curriculum for African American studies after criticisms from Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. After heavy criticism, the College Board released on Wednesday an official curriculum for its new advanced placement course in African American Studies, stripped of much of the subject matter that had angered the governor and other conservatives. The College Board purged the names of many black writers and scholars associated with critical race theory, the queer experience, and black feminism. It ushered out some politically fraught topics like Black Lives Matters from the formal curriculum, and it added something new. Black conservatism is now offered as an idea for a research project. DeSantis getting that win against the College Board is going to infuriate a lot of Democrats out there, but it's not just him. Leon County Commissioner Bill Proctor in Florida, one of the loudest critics from the left against Ron DeSantis. This professor, Dr. Proctor, teaches political science at Florida A&M, an HBC. He also serves as a minister at Bethel African American Methodist Episcopal Church. And he, Bill Proctor of Leon County in Tallahassee, agrees with Ron DeSantis. There is grave concern about the tone and tenor of leadership's voice from the highest spaces in our state being hostile to teaching African-American history. I'm against the College Board curriculum. I think it's trash. It's not African-American history. It's ideology. I've taught African-American history. I've structured syllabi for African-American history. I am African-American history. And talking about queer and feminism and all of that for the struggle for freedom and equality and justice has not been no tension with queerness and feminist thought at all, he said. He calls DeSantis a clear warrior against the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause, but believes that the AP college prep course that the College Board was offering was crap. Not just DeSantis. And DeSantis has that win as Trump gears up his attacks. Doesn't look like it's necessarily going to work. And also, I personally, objectively, Are we allowed to say well, I am white. I guess I get to. I am objectively surprised that Donald Trump's daily fundraising number is less than what Jeb Bush's daily fundraising number was when he first announced he was running for president in 2015. That's not a good number out of the gate for front runner status. And I realize President Trump has a massive pool of money elsewhere, but so did Jeb Bush. But that doesn't suggest the massive pile of grassroots support that he wanted. Again, this is your clear, troublesome, worrying takeaway, I think, for Donald Trump as he gears this up. After announcing presidential runs, Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush, Hillary Clinton, they all raised more dollars per day out of the gate in the first 3 months after declaring their run than Donald Trump has done. Donald Trump, according to the New York Times, has raised $9.5 million since his formal announcement, which sounds like a lot, but it amounts to $201,000 a day. Jeb Bush averaged $762,000 a day during the same time period. Hillary Clinton averaged $594,000 a day during hers. That's not a good number for President Trump, but that's the number. The weather outside might be frightful, but in your bed, you've got super soft Boll & Branch sheets to sleep under. They'll keep you comfortable. They're just the perfect weight. Summer, winter, fall, spring, the perfect weight, and they get softer every wash. And right now, with the weather so cold outside, you want to just be snuggled up inside. They're the perfect sheets under which you and your loved one can snuggle. And right now, you can get 15% off your first set of sheets when you use promo code ERIC at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L. BollandBranch.com. The promo code is Eric, E-R-I-C-K. Boll & Branch sheets are the perfect 100% organic cotton threads that get softer every wash. Not only do they get softer every wash, but the drape across your body is just perfect. I really enjoy mine. We've got them now on multiple beds in the house. We've just kept buying them because they're so soft. And every wash, they get softer. And right now, get 15% off your first set of sheets when you use promo code Eric, E-R-I-C-K, at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, BollandBranch.com. The promo code Eric. Hello there. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Jim, you're going to be the next caller. Welcome.
Good afternoon, sir. I have a poem for you, which ties in quite well with your discussion on Tom Brady this morning.
Sure.
I highly recommend it. Let me give you a portion of the last sentence. "Well, that is that," said Bubba Fats, as he sat down on his stone, facing another 1,000 years of talking to God alone. Now, I assure you, it ties in whether you like it or not. It's by Shel Silverstein.
He's a good one.
The title is a turnoff, but it's called "The Legend of Gimme Some Roy."
I knew it sounded familiar. Yep, the title. And there's also something I don't know about Tom Brady's career. Kind of reminds me of Ozymandias, to a degree. It's kind of sad and bittersweet. But you know, the other thing here too that's interesting to me is, we look at Aaron Rodgers, Garoppolo, you got Roethlisberger already left. Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City, one of the last really big names of the quarterbacks of the last decade or so that are still there and firing. The Mannings are all gone now. Brady's gone. Roethlisberger gone. Drew Brees is gone. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know that he's going to want to go and be overshadowed by Brady for the Hall of Fame, but maybe so. Maybe he'll go. So you got Mahomes in there. But now you got Purdy out in San Francisco, maybe. You got Joe Barrow, who, being an LSU guy, I'm a big fan. You got the new guys stepping up to fill the void. It's just all happened at one time instead of really spread out, which is the fascinating thing there. Okay, when we come back, really important topic to discuss. What's going on with the American military? Have you heard about these stories? Got some real concerns out there. Welcome, America, to the Eric Erickson Show across the nation. Phone lines are open, 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, there is a story. Actually, there are several stories that we need to talk about. This may actually be one of the bigger issues of our time. I have previously addressed inefficiencies and the need for reform and oversight of the FBI, the national security apparatus, but we got some problems with our military. We're sending a lot of our equipment to Ukraine, and I want to be clear with you. I don't have a problem with us helping Ukraine. I would rather them deal with Russia than us deal with Russia, because given Russia's ambitions, we're eventually going to have to deal with Russia unless we deal with them right now. This isolationist furor that we should somehow be partners and allies with Russia, you can't really be partners and allies with Vladimir Putin. He doesn't have allies. He doesn't have equals. He is above everyone, and he wants to dominate and restore the Soviet sphere of influence, what he believes is historically the Russian sphere of influence. So we got to deal with this problem. We're either going to deal with them in Ukraine and let the Ukrainians deal with them, or we ourselves will have to deal with it when he invades Poland, which will happen if we don't deal with them here. He wants to restore the Soviet sphere of influence. And all the people out there say, no, 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 isolationists, stay away. It's not our problem. The Ukrainians blame it. The Ukrainians are not the one who invaded another nation. I thought it was interesting when that lady emailed me the other day, full of anti-Semitism, that it's not a coincidence. It's the only nation on the planet with a Jewish leader outside of Israel. I think there's a strain of that. It's the largest ground war in Europe since World War II. Let me explain where some, not all, but a large portion of our money is going when we send Ukraine money. We're sending, thus far, $27 billion to Ukraine as a loan. Ukraine uses that money to pay its military, help buy food for its citizens, and the bulk of that money, the overwhelming majority of that money, then goes to Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, American military contractors from which the Ukrainians buy weapons. So we loan Ukraine money, and Ukraine sends it back to our businesses, who then provide jobs in Georgia and Alabama and Texas and Virginia and the like. But there's a problem. So Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, they make the Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, they make the Javelin anti-tank missiles, they make the HIMAR rocket launchers. But they're running into problems. They have supply chain problems and access problems. And this is a problem for us. In theory, we should be funding Ukraine. We should not just be funding Ukraine, but we should be allowing them to buy our weapon systems. And in fact, we are disproportionately from all other players giving them our weapon systems. But our manufacturers cannot keep up with manufacturing. And so by giving Ukraine our weapons, we are depriving ourselves of weapons technology we need. And we're going to have to deal with this issue. You see, the arms manufacturers in the United States are running into a lot of problems. The defense sector is down around 6% so far this year in the market, underperforming the broader stock market by 12 percentage points. Lockheed shares have fallen 4%. Northrop Grumman, which makes the B-21 bomber, down 20%. Fears over U.S. budget wrangling with a split Congress have weighed on defense stocks. Recent share retreats for U.S. defense contractors contrast with the trend among European arms manufacturers, who are surging. A big challenge for U.S. weapons makers is the gap between what the Pentagon has says it plans to send Ukraine and what it's actually spending to buy armaments from defense companies. While the Pentagon has pledged to spend $30 billion in military supplies for Ukraine and refill its own stock, less than $10 billion so far has been awarded. One of the biggest lessons learned for the U.S. defense industrial base is the significant consumption rate, says General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the highest-ranked military officer. Many of the arms being sent to Ukraine have been drawn from existing inventories, and the production lines for those weapons have gone cold or weren't equipped to respond. In other words, we had a big stockpile of weapons we could send to Ukraine, but our weapons manufacturer supply chains are having problems keeping up now that the stockpiles are dwindling. They don't have access to the chips. They don't have access to the labor. They don't have access to the manpower. They don't have access to the other supplies necessary to manufacture the arms. And this is a problem that is actually good. We're discovering it now before we get into a real war. This is a war by proxy. We're allowing the Ukrainians to fight so we don't have to. They're testing our weapon systems on the Russians the weapons were designed to defeat. And guess what? They work phenomenally well. This gives us an opportunity to fix the problem now. This gives us an opportunity to refine the supply chain problems, but it's not just them. This is from Bloomberg News. U.S. Navy warships have seen fewer days at sea since 2011 because vessels are breaking down more frequently than expected and taking longer to repair, even as the Pentagon struggles to catch up with China's larger fleet. A review of maintenance, repair, and parts replacement for 151 surface warships matched the days underway at sea shows they faced persistent sustainment challenges that have worsened through 2021. The declining time at sea is a troubling sign, particularly as the U.S. seeks to counter China in the Indo-Pacific region and for a potential conflict this decade over Taiwan. China has the world's largest navy now, according to the Pentagon. The U.S. is getting less out of many of the ships it has. The problem included increased delays in depot maintenance and growing numbers of cannibalizations, adding up to fewer hours that ships were steaming. Parts are considered cannibalized when they're pulled off another ship because crews couldn't get what was needed in the normal supply chain. Let me read you one more paragraph here. Pay attention to this one. The report is a sobering primer for lawmakers and Navy officials who only recently have shifted focus from adding more vessels to the fleet to maintaining maintenance backlogs. It adds to doubts about the Navy achieving a goal of a 350-vessel fleet as desired by lawmakers when it's having major difficulties with its current force of 293. The Navy this month announced a goal of maintaining at least 75 vessels fully combat ready at all times. Details have yet to be spelled out for the project called North Star 75. The Navy's premier destroyer, the Arleigh Burke-class DDG-51, averaged 7 more cannibalizations per ship in fiscal 2021 than it did in fiscal 2011 and 19 more serious Category 3 and 4 failure reports per ship. The 68 ships built by General Dynamics averaged 20 more days of maintenance delays in 2021 than 2011. We selected 10 ship classes that represent a large portion of the Navy's total ship population, according to the Government Accountability Office. Specifically, as of November 2022, the selected ship classes represented half the Navy's total ship battle force. We have problems with our military. To break this down for you, our most advanced technical fighters are plagued with problems. We cannot keep our ships at sea because they keep breaking down and parts are in short supply. We're cannibalizing one ship to fix another ship. We can't keep missiles stockpiled for our army. We can't keep our missile battery stockpiled. They're having delays. They're having supplier problems. We have allowed over time military vendors to buy up so many subcontractors that there are very few subcontractors who compete. Not only that, because there are so few contractors who can compete and subcontractors who can compete, they charge more prices because we've created oligopolies where there used to be a free market because we thought that would be a better situation, and it's not. Our Navy can't keep ships at sea. Our Army can't keep tanks and missiles supplied. Our Air Force can't stay in the sky because the planes are breaking down. And China now has a Navy larger than our Navy. China wants to be the global superpower. And there's a growing sentiment among some Americans that we might as well let them do it. We might as well let China reign supreme. The problem with letting China reign supreme is that if China becomes the dominant global superpower, our values go by the wayside. Our values as Americans, our liberty, our freedom go by the wayside if China is allowed to be dominant. If China is allowed to be dominant, China gets the fair trade deals. We don't. Our costs go up as a society. Our consumer costs go up. Our interest rates go up. Our conversion rates for our currency go up. All of the problems that we have right now get amplified materially, monetarily, systemically across the nation if we allow China to become dominant, and China wants to become dominant. And the only way to stop China from becoming dominant is to compete across all fields, including the military. And we have allowed them now to have a larger Navy than us. We have allowed them now to have a greater weapon supply chain. China, get this, China, a communist nation, has a greater supply of subcontractors for its military weapons building contractors than the United States has. When the Chinese military wishes to build a missile, the Chinese military can go to the companies that make its missiles, and they then have a variety of subcontractors to choose from to get the most competitive rate to build the missile. We've consolidated our defense industry so much in this country that we have a shortage of weapons subcontractors to build the individual components for the major companies to build the overall weapon. Let me say that again. We as a nation have now consolidated our defense industry so much that we have very few subcontractors to make the individual parts to then give to the contractor to make the overall weapon. China has more. We have supply chain problems, manufacturing problems, chip build problems, labor problems. And then on top of all of those problems, we have the Pentagon bureaucracy slowing things down. The Pentagon bureaucracy makes it more difficult to approve subcontractors. The Pentagon bureaucracy slows the paperwork down to order the parts. The Pentagon paperwork and bureaucracy slow down payment to the contractors. The contractors can't hire the employees the contractors need because the Pentagon is slow to actually give them the money needed to be able to hire the people. The entire chain of command and supply chain from the Pentagon bureaucracy to the subcontractor has broken down now under bureaucratic governmental inertia. It's slowing us down, building inefficiencies. We cannot compete as a nation anymore. We cannot sustain ourselves unless we do some whole-scale changes to the system, and there doesn't appear to be a desire, a demand, or an impetus within Congress, the White House, or the Pentagon to really fix things. We have a major problem coming. The Air Force, the CIA, the Pentagon expect we could have a real, actual hot war with China within the next 5 years. If we do, we are going to lose, not because we can't beat them, but because we don't have the components to beat them. And you can blame Ukraine for this because Ukraine has gotten so many of our weapon systems. The problem here, though, is not Ukraine. This problem is only revealed because we gave our weapons to Ukraine. That actually helped us realize we have a problem we did not know we had. And now we have time. We have time to fix this problem. If our leaders in this country, in the private sector and the public sector, commit themselves to fix this problem, it is easily fixable with some tweaks to the supply chain, with some tweaks to legislation, with some tweaks to bureaucratic regulation. We can actually fix the problem. But do we have the institutional will to do it? I don't know the answer to that. Now, you need to supply yourself with a great cell phone carrier that is efficient, that gives great service, that helps the causes you care about, that is not weighed down by bureaucratic inertia like so many companies. Years ago, the left came up with an idea to build a cell phone company that you could use, and they would dedicate a portion of their profits to left-wing causes. And my buddy Chris Wilson, great pollster out in Texas, said, you know what? We can do this on the right as well. And he helped start Patriot Mobile, which takes a portion of its profits and funds the causes you care about, from veterans and first responders to the Second Amendment to the pro-life movement. All you have to do is take your business to Patriot Mobile. And to do it, you get free activation with my name by going to patriotmobile.com/Eric. Patriotmobile.com/ERIC. You get guaranteed great service. They use the same cell towers everybody else uses. You get to partner with a company that shares your values. They are Christian conservatives. And you know that a portion of their profits that you've helped them make go to the causes you care about. If you're a veteran, a first responder, a teacher, and a member, they give a lot of discounts. You've got a lot of lines in your house because multiple kids, we're about to need another cell phone in our house, and it'll be a Patriot Mobile one because we'll get a discount. Not because I do an ad, but because they give everybody discounts for multiple lines. Go to patriotmobile.com/Eric. Become a customer, or you can call them 972-PATRIOT. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service. patriotmobile.com/Eric. Hello, it is Eric Erickson here. Let me see if I can squeeze in Brent's phone call here. He's been waiting patiently about Ukraine. Brent, welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric, first of all, the more I listen to you, the more I respect you. Thank you for being a sound voice for the Republican Party. We need more voices like yours.
Well, thank you very much.
Everything you said was everything I was going to say, and thank you for bringing this to light. Like you, I believe we need to do everything we can to assure Ukraine wins, but I just think that sending money that we don't necessarily have and weapons that we don't have is the answer. I think we need a very strategic way to win this. So they don't continue to win. That the issue with China and the Navy is a very big concern. The amount of ports that China is now owning is a big concern. And you are completely correct. The military is facing a very big dilemma, and none of our political officials, elected officials, are saying or doing anything about it, and it's quite concerning.
It is. And part of it is you think, well, maybe they know and they just don't want to say it out loud. But I mean, they're saying this stuff out loud. So, I mean, what are they oblivious to? And it seems like there's a lot of academic hierarchy now within the military, as opposed to the guys who fought the wars and won the wars and know the problems. A buddy of mine actually who listens just texted me, Brent, thank you for your phone call. Let me tell you, let me read you what Chris wrote. Here's a symptom. There are three approved mil-spec manufacturers of paint for the Army, which is currently repainting lots of stuff from desert brown to Army green, except they don't have the paint. We got supply chain problems, labor problems, money problems, bureaucracy problems. It just seems like if we had a more forward-thinking administration, they would start thinking about the world that's coming. Something Don Rumsfeld, for his faults, he wasn't a perfect man, but he was very forward-thinking in how the military needed to look in the road ahead. I think he underestimated China as a rival. But we got a lot of things we got to fix as a country when it comes to our military to tackle the challenges that we see on the horizon. All right. You guys have a great day. I will talk to you all tomorrow.